Joining us right now is the most regular guest on our hot seat, still one ahead of David Shepard, and it is Sarah Hoffman, the education critic, also the MLA for Edmonton Glenora. Welcome back, Sarah. Always good to chat.
Thanks for having me here, Kenny.
All right, Sarah. So obviously, once we saw that Minister LaGrange released the new curriculum, the draft curriculum, I should say, it's not the law of the land yet, but in saying that, we knew we had to reach out. So overall, I've seen maybe a couple of good things in it, but I'm assuming that you've seen a lot of things in it that raise some concerns. Like, what are some of the bigger concerns that you have upon reviewing the document?
Yeah, the biggest one that I've heard from folks and see reflected in the document itself is that it definitely creates a culture of us versus them and othering. And this is, like, you can't specifically point to one single learner outcome, although there are many that do this, you know, talking about Western religions in grade 2 and then, quote, other religions in grade 6, right? Like, there are some of those things, but it's just a general overall tone throughout the curriculum that this is really not about every single kid seeing themselves as part of Alberta, but about there being a group of what Albertans should or ought to feel and think, and then a group of others. And that is probably one of the most dominant tones. We've already seen groups like the Métis Nation of Alberta, as well as Treaty 6 Confederacy, come out and say that that this needs to be rewritten, that it's not an acceptable document. And I think some of the things they've pointed to specifically are their lack of direct engagement in creating this. You know, Jason Kenney brought in some folks that he really respects, many from out of province, but this is supposed to be a curriculum for all Albertans. And it definitely didn't honor the educational expertise and that we see from our academics, specifically in Alberta. So there are a lot of issues with this curriculum, and a lot of people are flagging them. But I can't just point to one specific thing because it's just it's a mess.
Yeah, fair enough. And also as well, I guess one thing that we saw in there that I know when I mentioned it to somebody is the idea of having things like topics of consent, financial literacy. Would you see those topics coming up in school as maybe a couple of positives in there?
For sure. Before I was even elected as an MLA, when I was a chair for Edmonton Public, we were lobbying for financial literacy to be incorporated in the curriculum, as well as issues of consent and computer programming coding, I think, are incredibly beneficial for students today and tomorrow. Those are good moves. We had those in our draft. I'm glad that they weren't taken out over the last 2 years. I think those areas are positives. I think if you want kids to be effective at programming, you should also buy them some technology so they can actually code in real life.
Yeah, so I've been seeing a lot of things in the Twitter sphere and also in other areas that apparently coding is going to be done via pen and paper. I've never tried writing on my computer screen, but I don't know if that would be a good idea. But from what I understand, and I'm not a coder, I don't have any understanding of it, but I believe you have to be doing it at a computer to even see if it works.
Well, it's like saying you can teach foods by making kids copy down recipes. Like, we all know that you aren't a chef until you aren't a cook unless you cook food, right? So I think you can teach kids how to copy down recipes. I think you can talk to them about the mechanics of baking or cooking, but I think you need to have some of that hands-on experience. And the government's talked about how they want to increase opportunities for, you know, people to engage in the trades and other hands-on learning. I think if you're going to also be talking about coding and make it part of the core curriculum, you need to give kids the tools to be able to actually deliver on that.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And one thing we do see is that there's definitely like a trend, and I know that the UCP government likes to talk a lot about diversification and their plans to try to do that. And some of the things that they pointed out is artificial intelligence, machine-based learning. I've asked the education minister this. I'd love to have your thoughts on this. Do you ever see those specialty topics ever coming into grade school with how much they're growing and seemingly the interest as well?
Oh, probably. You know, anyone who has seen youth engage with things like Google Home or Alexa, I think, is aware of how quickly they're able to figure out some of the algorithms and you know, get Google to do goofy things like tell them jokes or make noises that usually are contained to the bathroom, right? Like, kids are very quick at figuring out how to engage with technology and AI, and I think talking to them about some of the mechanics behind it and how they can use it in positive ways, and also the economic opportunities, the jobs that are going to be created in interfacing with AI as we move forward. I think that that is that's definitely got a place in us talking and thinking critically about the world.
All right, so here's an interesting one. So I'm not sure if you do have children or not, but if you do, or maybe, and some of your colleagues definitely do, on the in the legislature, in the MLA, and I'm guessing, I'm wondering how them, like for example, MLA Billis, for example, I'm wondering how excited he is about how his young daughter, when she gets into school, will be excited to learn about jazz musicians, including Jason Kenney's grandfather.
So last night we did a Facebook Live, and one of the MLAs who joined me was Raki Pantoli, who is a woman of color. Her children are visible minorities. And she talked about how hard this has been to sort of process. She has a son who's in grade two right now, and grade two has been getting a lot of attention in terms of the new curriculum. She talked about how he's learning about Saskatoon and about Ukraine and about Inuit people, and how a lot of what he's learning, he can think of direct connections. And a lot of what's being proposed are, you know, ancient philosophers and things that kids will find it much more difficult to connect with and relate to in terms of the world that they're a part of, the people that they know. She's really sad and concerned about her daughter experiencing grade two a couple of years from now with what's being presented. And I guess it's true that this is a draft, but this draft has been in the works for, you know, decades, but the UCP has been working on it for 2 years. The UCP thinks this is ready to go out and be piloted in schools in September. They think that this is good enough that teachers should only have a couple of months, you know, to prepare themselves to act on all of these pieces that they're proposing. And the truth is that they shouldn't be. It's not good. This is people keep shooting holes through this curriculum that are huge. And you did highlight the Jason Kenney grandfather question. And I want to say that, you know, the minister pledged that every Albertan would be able to see themselves in this curriculum. And I have no doubt that Jason Kenney sees himself in this curriculum. But kids are the ones that we need to be focused on, not the premier. I think he's done just fine.
Fair enough. Yeah, no doubt about that. And I guess as we see it, Sarah, you did mention it, and let's highlight this. This is not the law of the land yet. Their hope was to implement it for the 2022-23 academic year. So just let's highlight the fact that if parents do have concerns about this, there is more than enough opportunity on government websites and phone numbers and whatnot to make their opinions heard, isn't there?
Absolutely. And we've already seen that the government's starting to make some changes to this. Are they adequate? I would say no. But they are, you know, less than 24 hours after they launched the curriculum, they were editing the online version. They weren't telling everyone they were doing it, but we were able to see very clearly between a day earlier and that day some of the changes that were being made, specifically around religion and the teaching of religion. So there are a number of groups organizing online, like Albertans Against the New Draft, the new curriculum draft. There's over 21,000 members, you know, and this is just in the last couple of days. There's people organizing rallies and protests. I've been getting hundreds of letters, you know, every day since this launched a couple of days ago. So I think yesterday afternoon we had over 300 in personal letters, right? Like, this is something that people are submitting a form letter about. They're writing about their own experiences and their own hopes and their own concerns. And I want to say, keep them coming. Do reach out to the government, but also CCS, so we can hold them to account for what you're telling them. If you're going to fill out the survey that the government's made, please copy and paste what you're writing in it into another document and email that to us so that we know what your feedback is. And we are also launching our own website that we think will be more inclusive in terms of getting feedback from Albertans about this. So please do send us all of your ideas, your thoughts, your hopes, your concerns, because this is about the core foundational knowledge for people who grew up in our province. And what we think is important for them to have as skill sets and a knowledge base when they finish school.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess as well, because I know a lot of times, especially in the world of partisan politics, when a document like that is released, a lot of times the official opposition or other parties will release something like a similar document to say, this is how we would have done it. Is there any plans within the NDP caucus to maybe release what an NDP K-6 curriculum would look like?
Yeah, so we did have our draft from 2 years ago, and we still stand by much of what we put into that document we think is really effective curriculum. But at this point, we're mostly going through and trying to put forward edits. This is something that public servants have been working on for years. So for me to sit down with a couple of researchers and come up with a full counter document, I think it's more effective for us to focus on what we think needs to be changed in the existing one and where we were 2 years ago that is that was out for consultation. So I think that's what we'll say about that at this point.
Awesome. Sarah, now I got to ask on the personal side, are you feeling that spring is in the air right now? I know we're feeling it up here in the Peace Country, Big Lakes Country, where you're originally from, but
yeah.
How about down there in Edmonton? Are you starting to feel that spring in the air out there?
Yeah, it's spring break in Edmonton, and I live on a street where tons of people bike and walk, and I've tried to rake up some of the leaves that were left over from last fall already, so it does feel like a time of hope and optimism, but there's a lot that we need to fight back against at the same time. So, but yeah, spring is in the air, and I think a new leaf is turning, and it's time for Albertans to make sure that their voices are heard by their government.
Yeah, here's open. Sarah, thank you so much for taking the time to check in with us. Always appreciate it.
Thank you, Kenny. Take care.
This is Sarah Hoffman. She is the deputy leader of the NDP, also the education critic, as well as the Edmonton, or the MLA for Edmonton, Glenora.